Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
As if they don't have too much on their plates. The Kings of Combat Sports podcast, John and Wade. They talk about the things they did that day. They'll analyze the work of Triple H.
Rewind a SmackDown time. Hello, YouTube. Welcome. Welcome all. How are you, Wei? Still good?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. I'm full of energy. I'm just like,
I know.
I'm ready. I've had a great day. Very relaxing. I'm just full of just
energy,
fire. Ready.
You know what I've got? You know what I've fallen into? I am in. Okay. Not only did I build some Lego yesterday.
Oh. Did you?
Yeah. You want to? Can you give me an on-air grading here of how I did?
Sure. I sure can.
All right. This is the Lotus. Okay.
Ooh, I have that.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's not actually a Christmas present. It's just one I had never put together, and This was remarkably soothing. I should say.
Soothing. Hold it up closer. Let me really judge. Okay. Let me judge your sticker placement. All right.
They're tough.
How good?
They are tough.
How good are you? Okay. I mean, the yellow lines match. Yeah, you did a decent job. Not bad. Give you a, 8 out of 10.
Thanks. That's a pass.
4 stars. Good.
I've also, because on the Nintendo Switch, you can play all these old N64 games. I've just gone.
By the way, this is your son's Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, that he paid for
with his money.
That he bought. He bought it all himself. He allows me to use it every now and then to play GoldenEye.
Man, wow, nice.
I am obsessed with this game right now. Oh, I can remember how to complete all the missions. Like this is like almost 30 years of memory just coming back to me.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, I mean, it's been years.
This game in 1997 was just, that was it for me.
Yeah. Like so my game was like Donkey Kong Country when I was really young. And I picked up like the, just the game maybe like, I want to say like 20 years later. And I still know where all the secret areas are. You just know. It's ingrained in you, right?
It's just there. It's like there's a pocket of your brain that just is aware of your young teenage years of accomplishment, even in video game form. It's always there for you.
It is. Well, it sounds like you had a great time.
I'm on. We're moving on into the 00 agent levels.
Mm-hmm. How come they haven't done a better version of that? Why have they seen similar success with that franchise?
So my video game knowledge ends with Nintendo 64. I'm sure they've made more Bond games, but I am not aware of like, hey, GoldenEye was good, but man, did they really reinvent the wheel with this? Like, I've never heard of the superior Bond game.
Right.
I don't know. Okay. I'm sure there are great games out there, but I would say if you were to ask anyone like your favorite game on N64, GoldenEye is going to come up in a lot of people's list at the top. Like this was a game that was just when you played it, it blew my mind that a game could be this sophisticated.
Look, what's so great about it? Actually,
I mean, when you're going through these missions, like it's not designed for like a little kid to be able to pull off these missions. Like it's pretty involved.
They're difficult. They're challenging, but like in a fun way. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, somewhat.
Like they're puzzles. Are they like puzzles?
Puzzles with like headshots and, you know, just murdering people ad nauseum. Okay. Yeah.
Have you played other like first person shooter games?
Not a whole lot of them though.
So you love this game so much, but you never thought to seek other ones. You're like, I'm good.
Happy with this one. Yeah.
Yeah. I found my thing. Don't need to ever try anything else.
It's like you find a great restaurant you go to. It's like, this is great. It's like, man, I got to find a different place that serves us. It's like, no, this place is pretty good. As long as this restaurant's open, I'm going to come to this place. It's got great pizza here.
I guess, like, can you finish a restaurant the way you finish a game? I guess if you try everything on the menu, that's kind of like finishing it. Then you might just ask, hey, what else?
When you get food poisoning at the restaurant, then you're done with it. Then you can't go back.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm happy for you.
No, you're not. You don't care at all. You're just
I care a lot more about your GoldenEye.
I've been fucking driving all day. You're playing fucking video games. Shut the fuck up.
I care a lot more about your GoldenEye than I do about this edition of SmackDown. So sorry.
What are you talking about?
Even though it's a 2-hour edition of the show, the last one for quite a while. Man, I struggled with this one, I have to say.
Yeah, I know. Even at an hour and 20 minutes. Do you ever have streaming problems with the tape shows?
No.
No?
I don't. No, not you do?
All. Interesting. It's weird. The live shows, for me, not a problem. Playing it, like, on my laptop. The tape shows buffer like a motherfucker. I don't know why that is. Live feed, fine. No problem.
Do you ever have issues with Netflix in general? Streaming?
Not really. Like, when I finish SmackDown tonight, I put on this documentary and I was watching. No problem. But it's like these tape shows, they just, I don't know. Anyway, it's a me problem. It's not a wider spread issue. Mm. All right. Way wants to get moving. Folks, if you want to hear what all the energy was put into this week, it's the Post-Wrestling Christmas Show, up now for everybody. 6+ hours, edited by Mr. Ting himself, putting this together while everyone else was.
I actually missed an edit. I realized today.
Oh boy!
There's. I thought there was, like, during the Kate and John Clanchester interview.
Oh.
I thought there was an issue with Kate's audio, so I paused.
Do you know how many times it's jarring when you hear like a podcast, and I'm talking like major podcasts, and they'll just be like, so and so producer, just cut that one out. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go, and it just makes it into the feed. It happens to the best of them on YouTube videos too.
You know, like,
it happens all
like
the time.
These voiceovers, and they'll like do a retake, but they forget to edit it. Yeah, I was beating myself up over it a little bit, but I was like, whatever, it's part of it.
Well, I mean, 27 people heard the intro before the show even dropped.
Well, that was just a sneak preview. Obviously, it's nothing like the final edition. Great job by John Pollock, again, for another great opening to these shows. And thank you, Neil Flanagan. Thank you, our unnamed moderator.
you may now disconnect the line.
For their contribution as well. Excellent. Excellent job.
A fun show, as always. So you can check out the Post-Wrestling Christmas Show. As we mentioned, Collision Course is up tonight with John Clanchester joining Kate from Montreal, going through both Dynamite on 34th Street and Christmas Collision. Wei and I are going to be back Saturday night after World's End. So that means probably midnight at the earliest that we will be chatting with you Saturday night.
No way. I don't think so. I think we're going past that.
8, 9, 10,
I think 12:30.
Yeah, you're probably right. 12:30 is probably much safer.
But we'll see.
All right, it's time for the taped edition of SmackDown. Does everyone want to get their stopwatches out? Let's see how fast we can blitz through this one. Okay, Ilya and Carmelo Hayes was really good. Thoughts?
New champion. Big deal.
I don't have anything else to add to this show.
No, we're going to stretch this out, all right? We're going to make this a 2-hour review.
Yeah, let's really break down this Miracle on 34th Street fight.
Yeah.
So this was a week ago, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Nick Aldis greets Cody, and says that Drew has signed the deal, and once he apologizes to referee Dan Engler and pays the fine, Cody cannot lay a finger on him. Which I thought begged the question for all night. Cody is asking, has he signed yet? Has he signed yet? It's like, why? Shouldn't you try to be beating this guy up before he gets the apology in while you're while you still can? And instead, he was just like antsy to wait till he is paid the fine and apologized. It's like Cody didn't do anything about this guy. Guy was literally sleeping backstage. Cody could have attacked him in his sleep.
If he did attack him, though, wouldn't Drew just ask for some even crazier demands, which Aldis would have to agree to?
What would Isn't be stopping how we Drew got from here? Asking for more demands right now? I mean, well, it's kind of got him over a barrel. Somehow in all this, Drew got suspended, and it turned out to be amazing. Like, this is as crazy as a guy getting suspended and saying, hey, we're going to launch a new show called Collision, and this is going to be your show, okay? Never have I seen a guy suspended and get so much out of it.
Drew got suspended, but what they didn't anticipate was Cody attacking him in the car.
At his home.
Remember that first time? No, it was in the car. That was the first
time. Oh, you're right, the car. There was the car as well. There have been a lot of attacks.
That's why Aldis had to go try to smooth things out over with Drew, and then Cody, you know.
Shouldn't he have banned Cody from the building tonight if this match is so precious?
Well, he's the champion, you know, it is sort of
he had nothing to do tonight besides just be a pain in Nick's ass.
They promoted Cody and Drew under one roof, okay? So that he was a part of
it. Why? That's the last thing Nick wants. He doesn't want these guys under one roof.
Well, he likes to take risks, Nick Aldis. He likes to live on the inch.
It's a wild man. So the Miz walks up to Aldis and won't say Joe Hendry's name, so suggests that Joe Hendry not get any music tonight. So then Hendry, his music plays for Nick Aldis, and all of a sudden Joe Hendry is in the ring, surrounded by Santas,
because Aldis said his
Aldis name. Said the name, you're right. And then the music began. We have Santas, we've got Otis and Tozawa dressed up, and the Easter Bunny. And Hendry sings the Jingle Bells with the lyric that Miz has tiny balls. This went on for plenty of time. This man spent a good afternoon.
Every time he's in a team,
together.
He always takes the falls.
Not bad.
Miz has tiny balls. He would rather be in Hollywood, but they won't take his calls.
It's pretty. They funny. All rhymed. So, lyricist of the year, Joe Hendry. He said that Miz comes out pissed off. He's not a punchline. He has outlasted everyone for the last 20 years. And now that Cena's gone, he is the locker room leader. And Aldis comes out to make this a miracle on 34th Street fight. And Michael Cole, I'm glad Cole had this research right at his disposal for this impromptu stipulation match, noting this is the 12th miracle on 34th Street fight in WWE history.
Well, listen,
the 12th one. What's your favorite, Ben?
It's a quick Google search away, okay? And I'm sure he's just really quick on that iPad. My favorite one. I'm working on my list. I don't want to reveal it yet.
Yeah. Okay. This is the only one though that was presented by Fireball.
Yes, which was actually very popular at this party I was at today. I was at a weird, bit of a weird party because
this was where they're serving it to the kids.
No, it was supposed to be a party just for the kids, right? And then I guess the host. I hope they're not listening, but he was very.
They're definitely not.
They're very, I don't know if ambitious is the word, but they were, it was one of those hey, let's invite everybody, you know? And I don't know if you've kind of been to these parties where a party with kids, with other parents with kids, it's not really the same type of party as just a party with your friends, right? Yeah. This person decided to invite everybody, everybody he knew from a past life before we had kids, right? So, it was so crazy because half of us had to watch our kids, the other half were trying to drink, and it was just we're just kind of split up and each sharing, the kids got the tables once, and then the sort of drinking adults got the tables, and it was just a mess. This person tried to plan a whole food thing for everybody. He got too drunk and just completely fucked up the schedule. So he had to get the wives to take over. And then all the kids were starving. I was starving. It was just a mess. Like, so don't do that, okay? If you're going to do a kids thing, do the kids thing. Then do the adults thing separately. Like, or
guys,
just,
we're
like,
doing pin the
times.
We're doing pin the tail on the donkey, and then we're following it up with beer pong, okay? Everyone's going to take turns.
This is bad. Anyway, Fireball was like one of the popular drinks. I've never had it. I did not have it at this point.
Okay. Well, Hendry unwraps a guitar. Biz gets a ukulele. This was supposed to be funny. Like, look, it's got the smaller version. And then there was a hip toss into a Christmas tree. Bunch of ball jokes as Miz pulled out tiny ornaments. Everything was small that the Miz pulled out.
I take it you weren't a big fan of this match, Tom.
I loved
not
it.
Making
I loved
your,
it.
Your
I'm
talk.
Glad we didn't do our award show yet because this is going to rank on the best of. Cole asked if the Miz has chestnuts on an open fire at home. Balls. Hendry uses the Christmas tree as a weapon, and then Miz knocks the cookies out of Tozawa's hands, attacks the bunny with a kendo stick, and then Otis snaps. Hendry attacks him, and then after a fallaway slam, caterpillar by Otis, Tozawa hits a senton while Miz has cookies in his mouth and spits up the cookies. And who is the Easter bunny? It's R-Truth with a five-knuckle shuffle. And then after a guitar shot and a standing ovation, Hendry wins. We all win. All seasons, all holidays represented here. And this is Otis pre-Gunther. This would have been awesome if Gunther came out and just murdered all four of these guys. Honestly, that would have been the best.
I don't know if the Gunther-Otis feud is happening at all. I feel
no,
like
this Raw commercial break promo, it has to be leading somewhere.
I think he was just going into business for himself, that Otis, you know, trying to get a
that would have been
Gunther.
Awesome. That would have been great.
This guy to hijack the Netflix
I'm going to shoot my shot during the commercial break. Yeah. Some podcaster is going to make my argument for me that I should
either that match. Or they just thought the better of it. Like, why would we give away a Gunther match, you know, with for what, just to even have him?
It's not even worth doing a Gunther is in action next week type of match with Otis. We're not even going to do it, period.
But listen, John, okay, it's the holiday show. It's a tape show 7 days in advance. I could use a
I've got a
cheese.
Black heart. This isn't fun. This isn't like, oh, yay, Christmas. This is so fun. Look, cookies. Look,
I could
got
use,
ornaments.
I could use some tiny balls, gags, you know, on a day like this. I could use R-Truth inside
his dick,
an Easter Bunny
His
outfit.
Dick is so small, and everyone knows it.
Yeah,
I love this.
When else would you do it other than during a Christmas tape show? I thought this was perfectly
I don't
fun.
Care. Just because it's the holidays.
What do you want here? Like, what do you want, a five-star classic between Joe Hendry and The Miz?
Hendry should have just done a whole Christmas album. He should have gone talent by talent. He should have had a song for every person in the locker room. Okay.
That might have made the show plenty interesting. But I mean, it's a Christmas show. And as a way to introduce Joe Hendry to the main roster, I actually thought this was like a very strong introduction for his type of character. They gave him a whole concert. They gave him like The Miz, who I thought, like, okay, honestly,
he gets a double concert because he's doing one on NXT Tuesday.
Yeah, well, this is more proper because, I mean, this is like, you know, call-up, right? Or at least maybe teasing a call. But I imagine he's one of the free agents, if not like actually signed.
Oh, he's SmackDown. I don't think they're even doing the free agent deal with him. Like, he's just on SmackDown now.
Well, he'll be needed for the 3 hours, you know? Do one of these a week, sure, why not?
We need a song every week, Joe.
I thought The Miz was great in this particular role, like as an opposition to somebody as much as like who's as much of a cartoonish character anyway as a Joe Hendry. I thought The Miz was terrific playing this sort of like cartoon, you know, Looney Tunes type of villain role.
I'll rewatch this a few times. I'll report back tomorrow night. I'll see.
Yes, please.
Carmelo Hayes is hanging out with Fraxium. Ilya walks up to speak with Carmelo about teaming last week, and it was great what we did. But I'm unhappy about our title match and how it went down. You are getting the shot tonight. So Ilya, just like, you know, signing his own death warrant here. And Carmelo was more than happy to take this freebie title shot tonight.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Kathy Kelly catches up with Backstreet Drew, all in white. He's tired. He's been at a party all day in Thornhill. He's going to lie down backstage for a few hours. I was like, you pick the SmackDown to go sleep. This SmackDown was so compelling. I would rather sleep through until my segment at the end. And he will reveal his stipulation. Well, it's a great gig. You just show up to sleep.
Yeah, one of the perks of being a heel, I guess. You could just like
look at this guy. Incomplete.
Yeah. Oh man, who are we thinking here? AJ McLean?
Yeah, definitely AJ. Hair's a little longer, but he's AJ.
Yeah,
with like the build of Brian.
Millennium era AJ McLean. Would you say?
Yeah, like beige on Brian. Beige on white just screams like I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a great look for him.
You know what was a great look?
What's that?
The return of the snake in our next pre-tape. Once upon a time, there was a man, a very talented man, a man so talented, he reached things far beyond his dreams, the pinnacle that this industry has to offer, but then gave all of himself away. Dude, it was like a minute before we finally realized he was talking about Damian Priest here, because we had to have Zelina come in.
What are you talking about? Who else could he be talking about? Like, there's no one.
I thought he was talking about himself here. I thought he was a talented man. Of course.
These two don't talk about anybody except Damian Priest. That is their entire main, like, WWE character is talking about Damian Priest.
Man, if this guy were ever to, like, just go on vacation, if he needed to get that shoulder surgery, these two would just be gone. Zelina comes in. She goes on about Judgment Day and Rhea Ripley and R-Truth. They poured their time into everyone else, and all they did was take. They have stripped Damian down for 6 months, not an exaggeration, and made him unpredictable and violent. You answer to us, and it ends when I say it ends. So this is now, this is his heel heat is, I'm going to keep this going and going. Your career is moving nowhere past Park, which is black. So they're having another match next week. I can't wait. Buffalo. Yeah. I mean, if ever this arena was calling me to dust off my passport, this was the match.
I can't believe they would actually like tell us how long this feud has been going. Like 6 months. Is that true?
It's like, is that it?
I can't. Seriously. Okay. I guess they first had their match, I guess in August, but I imagine the feud was taking place before that. It's been way too long. And it's.
They've overcome so much weapons, fireballs. I mean,
yeah.
How can this end?
It feels like an endless loop.
I love that this match actually, like, no stakes are raised. It's just a straight up singles match. Like, what could go wrong? Something tells me tomorrow, next week is not the end of this.
Are we even in a series? Like, are they counting?
It's the unofficial Andrade Carmelo feud.
Yeah.
They're unofficially having a series. They're just not telling us.
So Black and Zelina's whole thing is that, you know, we've already won because we made you change, regardless of whether or not we actually win the match.
They are literally playing Killer Cross and Scarlet.
You're right. They exactly are. It's the exact same gimmick. But how exactly did they make Damien Priest like change?
He hasn't changed one iota in this entire feud. He's got a bad shoulder. That's the only change he's going through right now.
Yeah, like they showed us
his attitude has not changed. He's still tight with Rhea. Like there's no change. There's no change in him at all.
No, like Cross at least like, you know, can talk about like, you know, several characters turning heel eventually. But like Black doesn't even have that. Like all they had was like some shots of like, I don't know, like Damien Priest using a table or like the steps or something like that.
Oh boy, like, he's really turned a dark really corner in his life. Not the Slim Jim table.
Yeah, like it's, and it's been 6 months of this basically. They worked 6 months to get him to use a table or to use stairs. So these two are like not very effective at you know, changing.
Joe Hendry and Miz also took a dark turn tonight.
Yeah, pretty much the same. So this has been awful.
I hate this feud.
For all of them.
Terrible. I'll talk about it more in a week or so. Yeah. Lash Legend and Charlotte Flair. So this was just a match. We had a Lash with a pop-up powerbomb, and then Flair flips over the corner, booting her from the apron. The Lash extension is turned into a DDT. Flair hits a moonsault for a two count, goes to the figure four, but Nia Jax hops onto the apron. Distraction. She is Bliss jumps onto her back, and as Charlotte is sent into the corner, leaps over Lash and pins her with a sunset flip. So we're just doing the 50-50 booking here between the two teams as they all tread water in the women's tag division. They'll all get title shots. They'll all get runs with the belt. It's just a matter of who's slotted where in the turn.
Yeah, this is their way of building to a multi-person match, and it just kind of kills interest in any single entity, particularly Lash, who really is, you know, the newcomer to all of this. And I thought they did a relatively good job with her in War Games, even up until
pretty clean win over Alexa. And yeah, it's just, you know, you get this win and you trade this one.
I mean, this was her first loss, wasn't it? Like at least as a singles.
On the main roster,
and it just kind of happened without any real fanfare nor struggle, and I would say the match itself wasn't all that interesting either, so that was a little bit disappointing, but this is just the way they want to get to the tag team match. We had a few segments in the back, too, with Byron Saxton and Jade, who talked about Meechin.
Byron said after the Aleister Black promo that they will, quote, inflict unimaginable harm on each other next week. Unimaginable. Yes. Jade is going to stomp a hole through the chest of Meechin and doesn't need weapons because she is a weapon. The lethal weapon, okay. Jade Cargill. B-Fab is watching all of this, and Meechin walks in. B-Fab doesn't want Meechin to get hurt on her account. Meechin says they are not scared, and she will humble Jade next week.
Yeah.
She's lying.
Yeah, she's unlikely to humble Jade. Yeah. This really is just like one uninteresting SmackDown TV feud after another between this and then the Aleister Black thing. Like this has been going on for a long time too. Meechin and B-Fab versus Jade. Like ever since Jade won the championship, she's only been feuding with Meechin and B-Fab and nobody else. So I don't know what's going on the show. It just feels like, it sucks. That's what it feels like.
You know, they just don't have enough time. Way.
Let's be optimistic. They're wrapping up. This is it. They're ending Damien Priest and Aleister Black next week. B-Fab and Meechin will be finished next week. Okay. We're just saying goodbye to all of this.
Okay, we'll check in next week and see if that is the case. Aldis is with Trick Williams, and Raw is going to throw Trick the bag. And Aldis is basically holding him up. He's like, beat their offer. He's, you know, he's Warner Brothers Discovery.
And like Warner Brothers Discovery, are we going to get publicly announced, like, offers? You know, can I get a dollar figure attached to what Trick Williams is commanding?
Maybe he's going to take the offer from Adam Pearce, and then Aldis is going to put out a strongly worded letter directly to the Raw shareholders.
That would make wrestling far more interesting.
Yeah. Or to Trick shareholders.
I do think that would be next level in wrestling storytelling, if they can attach dollar amounts to each wrestler's contracts. You know, they'll never do it because because they actually have real contracts, and maybe they wouldn't want people thinking about how much these wrestlers actually made. in comparison to their profits.
That's what the Chyron should read instead of their name. Everyone knows who Trick Williams is. They should just come up and instantly you know if he's an important person or not based on the salary he's making. Yeah.
Well, I mean, in sports, it kind of works that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Even in wrestling, it works that way if you're aware of how much they make. If they're making a lot more, they're a lot more likely to be booked higher.
With Roman, it's like a countdown of his dates this year.
That is next level, like, wrestling manager. Yeah.
So Cody comes in and just kicks this guy out of the office and Trick leaves. I was like, I hope that is not how this segment is going to end. Thankfully, it did not. He's still complaining. He's asking if Drew is paid his fine. I'm like, dude, are you watching this show? It's been 20 minutes since you last asked. Trick returns, lists off everything he's ever won in life. He's the hottest free agent. And if Aldis makes the right decision, you better hold on to that belt tightly.
I didn't think this really meant all that much, like, seeing it. I mean, I kind of speculated that this just might have been a tease for the future, or maybe a way to see how the audience online would react to a scene between Trick and Cody. But obviously you can assume that they have big plans for Trick eventually to be a world title contender. And so this could very well be a match that you would see at some point.
You realize if this were 2021, he'd be coming up and he'd be performing like magic tricks.
We already had that gimmick. Oh, wait, no, we had the poker guy. Have we not had a magician in wrestling?
I mean, in WCW, I mean, what would you consider the Black Scorpion? I mean, he performed a lot of magic tricks.
Yeah, but he didn't have, like, cards.
There was that guy Phantasmo. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. Okay.
Aldis, that concludes that segment. MFT's video. More of your favorite feuds all coming to a close soon, folks. He says how Uncle Howdy preaches family when he doesn't have one. He says, we don't fear you. We create fear. And they are coming for the tag titles, all five of them, as they audition here for Are You Afraid of the Dark? And the lantern is burning low, which this lighting was burning very low here. They had like one candle to spread out for the lighting here. This was what cinematography? This looks like a bad album that, you know, someone would hand you on the street.
Yeah.
Say, this is my first LP.
Drew McIntyre is maybe like 2000s, late 90s boy band. This is more like, I don't know, what would you say? Like some attempt at like a R&B thing.
Yeah. Yeah. This is
like B2K or something like that. New Edition, like something like that, you know.
It's exactly where I saw 2004 Olympian Jeff Cobb reaching.
What a path.
How did Jeff Cobb get here in life? How did he get to this moment?
Well,
he
wanted to make
look,
more
look how
money.
Menacing he looks. Look at his scary face.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Look at Tama Tonga. Where did that Tama Tonga thing lead to with him and Ilya after all those weeks?
I think that's a great question. Maybe
he got into his head.
Yeah, maybe.
That takes us to Ilya Dragunov and Carmelo Hayes in the Thank God This Championship Exists on this show. Excellent match that these two had. So Graves, all of a sudden, this is now Hayes' character, is that we're seeing the chatter online that maybe he's not going to live up to the hype. Like, yeah, this...
What forums is Michael Cole visiting? Where does he get his...
I don't know, but apparently, this was all from 6 months ago when I think this was more of a concern, but... yeah, then they listed off every stat of Ilya defending this U.S. title, how many times he's defended it on SmackDown. He is, and usually when they're so stat heavy on a champion, it's usually the signal that they are researching this because we're about to change the title. So Constantine Special is hit. Then Hayes headbutts Ilya and comes off the top, is stopped with a leaping kick. The H-bomb is blocked with the knees, and then Ilya stomps his face, slams Hayes for a near fall. We got some real Ruby Riot vibes here from Ilya. Superplex by Ilya, gets countered in midair into a cutter. The slow motion replay of this looked really great. And then Ilya comes back, DVD to Hayes on the edge, and goes for the coast-to-coast dropkick. But as he comes off... Hayes manages to hit the first 48 as Ilya comes down and then follows with nothing but net. This crowd's going nuts. He wins the belt and big pop for the title change. And Ilya wraps the belt around Carmelo's waist. Says, God damn it. Why did I choose this guy? And that's it, folks. The title reign is over. He had a nice run.
I mean, goes without saying, like the only like worthwhile match to watch on this entire show. And booking a title change on a taped show, I actually think is a very smart move because it signals to everybody who is likely reading spoilers anyway that, hey, something big's about to happen on the show. So try to take some time, at least out of your schedule, to sit down and watch this because, I would consider it a pretty, big news item. Similar to, what did we have recently? Mercedes Moné, dropping the belt to Alex Windsor. This ends, I would say, a very good run for Dragunov. One that certainly has managed to establish him on the main roster in a pretty strong way. He's known now. Curious what else he does. And it's interesting that it's moving on to a babyface, another babyface. So you would expect the open challenge gimmick to continue. It's been very successful for Dragunov. Hopefully, it'll do the same for Hayes. And obviously, with Trick Williams, probably SmackDown bound, you would think. That would lead to more internet speculation, perhaps more internet chatter about where these two may end up.
What are the chances Miz ends up with this belt?
Well, it's very strong. Sure. Always.
Bliss meets with Charlotte in the back and in come Rhea Ripley and Io Sky.
What about Tama Tonga?
I think he's just going to, he's a background player. Okay. He's slowly calculating.
I think he may still go after Dragunov. I mean, we think he was only after the title, but maybe he was only after Ilya Dragunov because he just likes him.
It's a smart game plan for him.
Hello, hello, hello. Davey Portman here from Poison Rana. We cover NXT every Tuesday night on the Post Wrestling feed in a show we call Up Next. But we do so much more. Follow Poison Rana Pod on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts for our live Sunday show, plus our Patreon with movie reviews, retro wrestling reviews, and more. Find out everything at poisonrana.ca.
So Bliss and Flair meet with Ripley and Io and ask them, why are you guys here on SmackDown? And they remind them about their title match in Brooklyn. Nia and Lash come in, followed by the Kabuki Warriors, who are also here. And Aldis just gets in the middle to make an 8-woman tag next week in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's
everyone screamed. Who is the best screamer in this?
That's ahead of the 4-way title match in Brooklyn, they said.
The 4-way title match?
Yeah.
It's a 4-way now?
Didn't he say this? Am I mishearing things?
I don't think it's a 4-way. I think it's just Rhea and Io are getting the title shot on January 5th, unless I missed something.
Okay. Rhea and Io. All right. Because there are 4 teams here, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're building towards something like that, like where all of them are trying to get title shots, but they establish Rio and Io are first in line.
Oh, okay.
Kelly interviews Carmelo. He was delayed but not denied. Thanks, Ilya, for elevating this title and elevating him. He's putting the division on notice, but before he can put it on notice, Johnny Gargano jumps him and says this title is mine and that he ruined everything.
So what it seems like it's happening to me is that maybe every like few months they will change the champion in the U.S. division and just cycle through the same roster of challengers again. So we're going to get Aleister Black matches. We're going to get who else has these guys faced? Like who else is in this mid card? Like Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano. Maybe you'll get a Tama Tonga thrown in there. I mean, maybe Dragunov can challenge one of these weeks.
He just plays Ilya for the next 3 months.
Pretty much, yeah. Everybody gets a turn, yeah.
And then your main event of Chelsea Green, Alba Fire against Julia and Kiana James. Julia tries to get her hands on Chelsea, but Chelsea hops to the floor. So Fire hits a tornado DDT. Julia tosses Green by the hair when she finally gets her hands on her, hits a knee strike, throws out Elba, and wins with the Northern Lights bomb, pinning the Women's United States champion. So Julia, she's on the comeback trail for that U.S. title.
Yeah. So when did Julia last wrestle? Was it last week?
Yeah, last week was the one where they had said she hasn't wrestled since she lost the title at the beginning of
November. So she did the Monday taping and then she did this Friday taping. So, I mean, I noted on last week's show, and I wasn't the only one, how cold of a reaction Julia received. It was just, I mean, it was so obvious. This one was even worse. Like, it's so, nobody is reacting to her, and I really don't blame her because the creative has been awful. She's booked as, I think she's the baby face in this. And, like, how does that happen? Because, like, she's been the heel the whole time, but she's opposing a chicken shit heel in Chelsea Green.
And so Kiana's a heel.
Yeah, it's a terribly booked feud. And they've done, like, really no work to boost Julia's profile in the meantime. It's been awful. This has been another really terrible thing on SmackDown.
This has probably been the most botched call-up this year has been Julia.
Terrible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would add to that Kiana James. Like, I don't know why she was called up when she was.
Well, she was called up, and then she got hurt and was gone like a year, and then came back to this role. Okay. These two to me have zero chemistry together. I don't get this pairing.
She was called up as what is this? Adam Pierce's assistant?
She was Adam Pierce's assistant.
Like, what? What is that? Why would you call somebody up to play that shitty role? You know? Why would you have that shitty role to begin with? All of this is terrible.
I just don't think this show's long enough. That was my conclusion. I think if this had more time, that's been the missing ingredient.
You know what? I'll save this.
Kit Wilson.
Yes.
He's back. And what is his New Year's resolution? To rid WWE of toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Okay. Is he wearing a pearl necklace? I missed this.
Clearly, yes. Mm-hmm.
Aldis says there will be an opportunity for something new for Wilson in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's coming to kill him next week.
Yes, right.
Well, Cody walks in.
Who should that be?
Obafemi.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
Cody walks in asking if the apology has been made. It's like, no, dumbass. It's the last segment of the show. I didn't book a main event this week for that very reason. And with that, Drew's music begins. And we go to break. We come back, and there's a video for Obafemi and Graves saying he will be a game changer in WWE. So it looks to be like Hendry is here, Javon is here, Trick is here, and it looks like Oba is next.
So the only question to me is like whether or not Sol Ruka.
I would think that Sol Ruka is going to be right in that same mix.
All the people profiled on that Saturday night's main event seem to be getting their call ups, yeah, and more, right? With Trick, right? So then what is it, like, you could expect a title change soon, can't you, with Obafemi?
Maybe Zarya is finally going to snap on Sol. Sol gets the call up and Zarya doesn't. That'd be enough to break them up.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I mean, you could next week we have the 8-woman tag, Jade Cargill against Meechan in a non-title match, and Damian Priest against Aleister Black. 3 hours. Drew is in the ring with Nick Aldis and referee Dan Engler, and Drew pays the fine, tells Engler he is genuinely sorry, and it's kept me up for weeks after hitting you with the claymore. This apparently, like in GoldenEye, once it says mission complete, that's it. It's done. You can't reverse your accomplishment, because then he continues stating he is sorry that it was Dan's dream to become a wrestler, but you weren't good enough and you had to be a referee. I'm sorry your wife, Melissa, had to watch and wished she had a husband like me with convictions. And I'm sorry for your children. Dude, Dan Engler's reactions were priceless here. What? My children? Who have a corporate, cowardly stooge for a father. Now, Nick Aldis is like, oh, he said he was sorry. There's nothing I can do about this. This was so silly. But he said he was sorry. That's all he had to do. So you can just bullshit your way through a fake apology. And then you can say, fuck that apology. It's still an apology and it stands.
Basically, if you want to be a villain in professional wrestling, you really just have to
work for Nick Aldis.
Well, I was going to say yes, or be like a very cunning 12-year-old who, you know, like might be penalized, but we'll come up with other ways to not apologize. Yeah.
This is such a weird program of how they have gotten to this match and all that they have done to prolong it. So Cody arrives and Drew dares Cody to hit him, wishes that When I attacked you on the bus, I wish your family was there. And maybe Brandy could see what a real daddy looks like. And then Drew explains, we are not doing this match in America. And the crowd groaned. They thought, this crowd here in Grand Rapids thought, we're going to get this now. They were all sad. No.
They didn't think they would get the match now. They just wanted it in their country.
They just wanted to solidify it. This Michigan is not that far of a trek to Buffalo. We could make it. But no, he has made it for January 9th in Berlin, Germany. Three stages of hell. And says, Cody, when I torture you and send you straight to hell, say hi to your dad for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's not up there, Ray. He's down there.
Yeah.
In hell. Yeah. Well, anyway.
The logic is that Dusty would have loved it, I'm sure. I'm sure that's what they would have said.
Cody sends Nick is holding back Cody to save his title. And Cody then pushes Nick Aldis away, turns around, and gets hit with a claymore. So Drew can attack him, just not vice versa. And then Drew holds up the belt to end the tape show.
Yeah.
And he said, back streets, back.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
That's all I've got.
Yeah, thank you. You could keep going if you want. I thought, listen, this is the Drew McIntyre that I think we've been waiting for, the type that is not afraid to go to some of those areas talking about people's kids and their wives and stealing bracelets and all that good stuff. So I think the feud needed this. Honestly, it's been a feud that I think has been like kind of drawn out a little too long, but it needed something to, I guess, make you feel the fire again, and I thought this managed to do that with some of these awful lines from Drew McIntyre. Three stages of hell, they were not clear on, I guess, what the stages entailed. You know, we can assume this is similar to previous three stages of hell. Has there been a unified three stages of hell set?
Catch as catch can, blindfold, title
miracle,
on the pole.
Miracle on 34th Street on January the 9th.
Yes. Yes.
Let's look this up. What's the three stages of hell match? We've had several, and they're always different. Like, you know, Triple H and Stone Cold was standard match, then street fight, then a steel cage. And then, like, Triple H, Shawn Michaels was street fight, steel cage, and then ladder. Like, last one was Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole in 2019. Match, street fight, steel cage. So it's just... whatever. Like John Cena arrived.
Is a straight up match a stage of hell? Like that's yeah. The bare minimum of what you do for a living.
Well, some would argue that going to work is one stage of hell. Okay. How much do you want to work if you really want to?
I guess
really
when the comparison is wrestling versus taking a nap in the locker room for an hour and a half, yeah, it's got to be hell to have to put your tights on and work.
So if I'm simply going by like the previously booked Paul Levesque three stages of hell match, I would assume it is going by match, street fight, and steel cage, which also happens to be the one he shared with Stone Cold. Maybe arguably still the match that's most well remembered. For three stages of hell. So
SmackDown was worth it for the 15 minutes between Ilya and Carmelo Hayes, and the rest wasn't exactly a riveting commercial for 3-hour SmackDowns. I did think the Drew Cody segment was very good at the end. I thought Drew was really great in this segment. So
yeah,
that's what
you
got.
If I'm picking up positives, I actually thought it was a very good call up for Joe Hendry. Meaning, like, if you're gonna do a Joe Hendry style like spotlight, I thought like pairing him with the Miz, doing a Christmas themed thing, kind of worked out.
He got
really
good. He got a very good reaction in the segment that he was in. So. That is what you had there. We are going to be back here on the YouTube channel on a Saturday night, immediately following World's End. So you will want to check in on that. We are going to be continuing the show over on the Post Wrestling Cafe, the XL version. We're going to quickly go through the World's End card for Saturday, and then we've got some feedback and questions to get to. So hit the subscribe button. Do whatever you have to manipulate the algorithm so that you get Post Wrestling shooting it straight into your veins on a daily basis. Whether it's the free version or if you've got the balls, then you know what you need to be doing.
Oh boy. People are going to get upset.
I just blew out most people's eardrums.
Oh man. That did not win, by the way. Okay, that was the AI creation. I feel morally wrong even just listening to that right now. But yes. That was an entry in this year's jingle contest, which everybody should be listening to.
Go check out the post-wrestling Christmas show. A fun time had by all. That is it for us here on YouTube, but the show continues.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.